Thank you for tuning in to the Epiphany program on Holy Family Radio with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich. I'm your program producer, Luke Zemlich. On Epiphany, our goal is to have a moment, an epiphany that will bring us all closer to God. So stick around to have an epiphany with us.
Welcome to the Epiphany radio program. My name is Deacon Louis. Our special guest today is Father Christopher Ankley, who is the Assistant Vocations Director of the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And with him also is Kathy Williams. She's the Director of Religious Education and Youth Ministry at St. Martin de Tours as well in Vicksburg, Michigan. And Matthew Montgomery, who is a seminarian. And we've got kind of an interesting program today to talk about the family and to talk about the weakness in our families, the strongness in our family. I don't even think strongness is a word, so there's another word for the dictionary for this year. Maybe it'll catch on.
Yeah, strength.
The strength. There it is. The strength in our families, but also the weakness and sometimes the brokenness that's in our families. And we kind of talked before the show got started to how deep we want to go with some of this stuff and not, you know, because these are our private lives. And but we want you to know that, you know, we're human beings and we experience the ups and downs in our lives. And I think it'll be a very interesting program. We're going to talk about new programs that are starting in our diocese and in some of our parishes. This strong Catholic family, strong Catholic youth, which Father Ankley is going to inform us on. So, Father Ankley, can you tell us a little bit about the strong Catholic family, strong Catholic youth program?
This is a program that we are just beginning to implement at St. Martin's. And the program recognizes that the family is the domestic church, because it's in the family where the faith is passed on to the children. It's in the family where children learn to pray, where they learn about God. And what this program does, it is equipping the parents so that they can become better teachers of the faith.
Awesome.
So that they can become better role models of the faith. Because I think for a couple of generations now, we haven't done a very good job of passing on the faith to our people.
Right.
And so we are going to try and educate the parents and to help them educate their children.
You bet.
Because growing up, I have memories of my family praying together.
You bet.
And memories of my parents passing the faith on to me.
You bet.
And those are good memories now.
Yeah, even if it's just praying at meals, you know, mealtime, as well as, you know, there's so much information now, too, that I know through Lighthouse Catholic Media, they have a lot of great CDs and a lot of great authors on different things in the faith, but also, you know, for each family to have a catechism, I think that that is, you know, that $30, $40 investment to get one of those big catechisms of the Catholic Church. They say that, you know, the Baltimore Catechism is for the little kids, you know, for, you know.
We had the Baltimore Catechism growing up. We'd come home from religious ed, and my mom would get out the Baltimore Catechism and say, okay, you're going to learn some more now.
You bet. Absolutely.
She wasn't happy with what we got the first time around, so
absolutely.
Okay, we're going to add some stuff here.
You know, and I'll tell you what, it's also a very good thing for our brothers and sisters of other Christian churches or Bible churches that are listening today, that Baltimore Catechism really gives you a good overview of the teachings of the church. It teaches you on, I think it's a sixth grade level. But it can also teach you the things that, you know, everyone says this or that about the church, and it can teach you that, you know, most of that stuff is not true.
Right.
You know, we are Christians, we are saved, but we're being saved. You know, the difference between Catholic theology and Protestant theology, you know, we're believing that we are participating in this salvation of our souls. And It's very well laid out in that catechism, but also in the larger catechism, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, gives great detail into all the things that we believe and why, and all of it based in Scripture and tradition in such a beautiful way. So I think this is it's a great idea to have a program like this, but and I know in a lot of parishes they've got family fun nights that are going on and different things like that too as well. So I'm going to ask Kathy. Kathy, you're the director of religious education and youth ministry there at your parish at St. Martin's. Is there anything that you see with this the program that Father Ankley is talking about that you see of a great benefit to that as well?
Absolutely, because it's not so much about implementing program after program, like right. Creating Family Fun Night, but it's really changing a whole attitude and a mindset, a philosophy, that whatever faith you are practicing as a parent is what you are passing on to your children.
Right, whether it be strong or weak.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you are, as a family, not making it to Mass every Sunday, then the chances of your child going to Mass every Sunday are going to be very slim in their adulthood.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, I see so much in my ministry that the idols of sports and even grades and money and the extracurriculars and trying these form these students into uber super special ultimate talented kids, they're sacrificing the most important aspect of their life, which is holding their faith. I often tell people, I'm not in ministry to necessarily give people warm fuzzy feelings, and that sometimes comes with having a faith.
You bet.
But giving them a faith that sees them through the struggles and through the hard times, that rock and not the sand. And parents, they are influencing their kids. No matter what, they are the number one influence of the kids. And again, the downside of where religious education now is that parents are assuming the church has the full responsibility of passing on the faith.
Right.
And we are here to support and encourage and evangelize what the parents are doing. And ultimately, no matter what, that is what our role will always be, is to support what the parents are doing.
You bet.
So it's really, in different memos I sent home to parents around the liturgical holidays, whether it's Ash Wednesday and encouraging the parents to do Lent as a family.
You bet.
Or during Advent, doing an Advent wreath as a family. And that's what strong Catholic families will help us to do. It will be different bulletin announcements, with just a little blurb. It could be a quote and discuss this as a family.
Yeah.
It will be and just different posters. It will be all these little things that's truly, truly trying to engage the whole family. And the youth ministry side of things in a parish, and this is where I see ourselves going at St. Martin's too, is it's not just a youth ministry.
Right.
It's truly becoming a family ministry.
Well, you bet. No doubt about it.
When I'm going to retreats and things and I'm looking for chaperones, I might have double the amount of chaperones I need.
Right.
Because I want the parents to also experience these retreats with their kids. Because
Absolutely.
What I'm finding is that they're getting as much out
they
of it.
A lot of,
and it gives a foundation for them to start discussing their faith and passing it on. And it's so important. We're even looking at changing our first reconciliation, moving it from our regular weeknight to a Saturday, to give more time for not only the children to go to reconciliation, but give parents the opportunity to go to reconciliation that day so that their kids see the strong example of their parents receiving the sacrament and they receive it together as a family. And how beautiful is that?
That's a great idea. Great idea.
We did that.
Yeah, and I think about quite often, too. It's,
5 minutes later, we are fighting.
That's right. There you go. Yeah.
My dad would. We went to confession every month, whether we wanted
to
or not. And we would go to this old country church back home where my dad grew up. And it was always Saturday night. It was always dark in the church, and we never wanted to go.
Right.
But we had no choice.
Yeah.
My dad said, "Oh, you're going. Let's go."
Yeah.
And afterward, we get ice cream, so that was kind of a bribe.
Hey, all right.
But looking back now, those are very good memories for me, that we went to the sacraments together as a family to see my parents go in there to receive the sacrament. It made a lasting impression on me.
That's wonderful. And I think it's, you know, in so many ways, I think, as for parents too and young people, how often we set the example. And we don't think, you know, we don't think our teenagers are watching us. But I'll tell you, they are.
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
And they're watching.
And
you
listening.
Know, yeah. They're watching and listening. They can see whether we're singing the Psalms. They can see whether we're doing the prayers. You know, they can see all of this stuff. Matthew's laughing about this. So it's a participation thing. I mean, this is why we always say, you know, that we're being saved. That this is a process. It's not just some done deal where, you know, I got baptized, I received all the sacraments, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know? Well, are you good? I don't know. You might not be as good as you think you are. You know? I mean, when it comes the day when we're going to stand in front of the big guy upstairs, what's he going to say? And really, at a greater level, we were just at a retreat. We were talking about heaven and hell. And we had this young priest who was telling us about heaven and hell, and it was absolutely beautiful. And we learned a lot. I learned a lot, and just to reflect back on that, because we don't reflect back on that very often. You know, the last things of our lives, or to think about the last things in our lives that we are going to stand in front of God, and we are going to be judged on our lives. And so, what can I tell him that I did? What can I tell him that I didn't do? And was I equipped? And we talk about going to Mass. We talk about being an example. And we talk about discernment of truth. And I talk to people about this a lot, you know, that you have no idea. You have no idea how to make a decision if you are not engaged with God. If you are not going to Mass on a regular basis, if you don't have any type of prayer life, you are walking blindly through life. And basically any brush of the wind or this thing or that thing, and you're going to get toppled right over. And not only that, but you're not going to be able to make good decisions for your families. So it's and we have the same problem at St. John Bosco as any other parish does, where parents drop off their children and they go on their way. And you know, I'll say it, I'll take the heat for it, and they'll say, "Hey, Deacon, I knew you were talking about me," you know. But the thing is that that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. You need to just slow down for a minute and come in. And I often believe that the kids, the young people, really bring the little babies, bring the parents back into the church. Mm-hmm. So the parents come back, they get the babies baptized, they the sacraments, and they do all that. But then in those teen years, which are really tough, that's when parents have to be strong. And you have to be strong in your prayer life, and you have to know that your kids are watching you. So Matt was laughing about that. So Matthew, we're going to ask you, what do you think about this? I mean, we're talking about the Strong Catholic Family, Strong Catholic Youth Program, but we're also talking about the domestic church at home. So how much of that impacted you and your life? Or is there anything that you can say in regards to this subject that you think would be interesting for our listeners to hear? You're a seminarian now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was laughing because you mentioned, are you singing the songs or not?
Yeah, there you go.
And
yeah. Are you singing?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
My mom got really mad at me once because when I was real little, I was so excited for church to be over. I didn't sing of any other songs except for the last one, and I sang it loud and proud, and my mom's like, "Oh man, you're in trouble now."
It wasn't Hallelujah, was it? Hallelujah. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember what song it was?
I have no idea. No.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Well, I often is there anything else you can think of that you know? And those are wonderful things. You know, you think about our parents and our moms and dads who watched over us as we're at Mass. But did you ever observe your parents? Did you ever watch your parents? I mean, you're 21 years old. You're a young man. But did you ever watch your parents when you were a teenager, or do you remember when you were younger?
Yeah.
And the impact of that, or, you know, I mean, I guess we don't want to say anything negative about our moms or dads, you know, of course.
No.
You know, that. Oh, yeah, I remember my dad. He was... My dad was sleeping through Mass. No, my mom and dad are in heaven, so, but I don't have anything bad to say about them. So, is there anything that you could, I mean, things that may have helped you in your discernment, too?
Well, it kind of goes back to my grandmother. I saw kind of like what we're talking about, how the child kind of mimics the parent. And my grandmother, every day she'll pray the not just one mystery, but all of them, the sorrowful, joyful, every single one, every day. And, yeah.
That's
she
amazing.
Actually, she always tells me, actually, every time I call her, thanks to JP, too, I have to say one more every day.
But got the luminous mysteries. Not just the luminous mysteries.
Yeah, but...
God bless her. So your grandmother's still alive.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but that
I would
actually,
give a shout-out to your grandma. That's nice. That would go grandma. All grandmas.
And praying for your vocation
and grandma.
Right now.
Yeah.
And that was passed down to my mother. She... I wasn't fond of it, but I am now. She got this CD of this woman just praying every single... All the mysteries of the rosary, and we listened to it on the way to church, on the way back, just everywhere. And she'd be like, "All right, let's do another one." And everyone's just like, "No, no matter what, we would keep going and keep listening to it."
Wow.
And that kind of instilled in my life a joy for the rosary.
Yeah.
Actually, not then, obviously, but but now and. These last couple years, I've understood why my mom kind of kept going at this CD with the rosary on it.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Well, that's been an influence on you, I'm sure. You know, and of course, the rosary for our brothers and sisters who aren't Catholic who may be listening, the rosary is the story of Jesus Christ. We studied these
scriptural meditation.
That's right, scriptural meditation. And it's so beautiful, and it's all centered around Jesus the life of Jesus, and, of course, the life of his mother as well. And, of course, God chose Mary to bring him, to bring God, the Son of God, into the world. And it's just a fantastic devotion to have. And I'm always trying more and more to try to say that rosary every day. You know, because Mary has done so much for me. She has helped me in so many situations, and always pointing to her son, always leading me to her son. And my mom did that as well for me. And in my life while she was here, she was always nurturing that side of our faith, that feminine side of our faith. And for people to really... And I mention this quite often. If you really want to know about Catholicism, if you really want to know it on a real beautiful basis of what you know this Epiphany program is about, of having an Epiphany, is really to pray and meditate on Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, the infancy of Jesus Christ, and how he came into the world and these first 12 years of his life. Just so beautiful. And, you know, so often we talk about, you know, the ministry time and the crucifixion and resurrection. But this time when he was a child, and this goes back to the family, this goes of what we're talking about here, the Holy Family of this ministry or this things that were happening with Jesus just in the early time of his life. Of how God was working and how God can work through us in the same way in our families and what we need to do and the responsibilities that we need to truly come to grips with, that we are fathers and mothers and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, and we are called upon not only just to tell the truth but to love with that truth. You know, and not to, you know, there may be things that our brothers and sisters may be doing that aren't good for them or lifestyles they may be leading which are not healthy. But we need to continue to love them, and we need to continue to shine the light of truth for them, to say, you know, when you're done doing that, when you're done, when you need help, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to consistently keep on loving you. no matter what and for no matter how long it takes. I'll keep praying for you and loving you. So, Father Ankley, I think, you know, we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit here and sharing some of the stuff within our own families, our own family units, memories that we have, whether they be from church or CCD or just growing up. I don't know if you want to start with the rosary story right away or something else, but anything that comes to mind that you'd like to share with
everyone? Before we started recording, sure. We were talking about praying the rosary together as a family.
Yes,
I think all three of us talked about that.
Right.
And I just remember it. My mom would always lead the rosary. We would pray it in the living room.
Okay.
The crucifix always hung above the couch, and so we would all kneel
nice.
In front of the couch. My brother Matt was always next to me, and he was always breathing all over me, and I just did not appreciate it. So I would elbow him all the time, and the family rosary was not perfect.
It was interactive.
Yeah, it was very interactive.
Elbows.
It was an interactive rosary. But I don't. Family prayer does not have to be perfect. I mean, going through it at the time, it was hard.
Yeah.
But now that laid the foundation for my later life. It laid the foundation for my prayer life as an adult.
Yeah.
And those are very good memories now.
Yeah.
Praying together with my family.
That's wonderful.
So.
Any other instances that you can remember, you know, that you don't mind sharing, that you know nobody's going to mind hearing of any other, you know, any other situations or even teachers that you may have had that impacted you, or people who impacted you in your life either early on or last week for that matter. I mean, just as a family. You know, as a family hold, and I can move on to Kathy, and we can talk.
No, I was an altar boy.
Okay.
For eight years, from fourth all the way through 12th grade.
Awesome.
And a lot of times during the summer, Father would call the house saying he needed an altar boy
sure.
for a funeral or for a wedding.
You bet.
And my mom was always volunteering me and my brothers for this. I mean, she never asked us if we wanted to do it. Father Don would call and say, "Oh, I need two altar boys for a wedding this afternoon. Can your boys do it?" And she would see us standing there, and she would say, "Oh, sure, they can do that. That's no problem."
They're not doing anything.
They're not doing anything. And we used to be so upset about that because she never asked us if we wanted to do that. But I think that's okay now.
Yeah.
I think that she didn't give us the choice because we would have said no.
Now, that's even when you guys were teenagers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So even as teenagers, she would say, "Oh, yeah,
man,
they'll be
God
there.
Bless
they'll
you
do
guys.
It. They'll do it for you."
Yeah.
And
otherwise, they won't have any place to sleep tonight.
And I'm glad she kind of forced us to do that and didn't give us a choice because that was good for us.
And what a great witness. And I always tell people at our parish, and I'm trying to encourage this more and more, to have fathers and sons, or mothers and daughters, or daughters and fathers, or moms and sons, to altar serve together, to have one of the children and one of the parents altar serve together at Mass, you know, just every other month, you know, or...
Matthew does that with his dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
See, and there you go. And, I mean, it is a... It's a beautiful thing. You know, my son and I did it, well, it's been years ago. It was probably 7 or 8 years ago. And maybe sooner than that we may have. But I'll tell you what a dynamic feeling to, you know, serve the Lord together. And, you know, and brothers and sisters, you know, we have several brothers and sisters and brothers who serve together. It's just it's a beautiful thing to see that, to see the family. And, you know, what a great gift, you and your brother, whether you guys wanted to be there or not. And
it was good for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And a great thing for other people to see, too. Because I think we don't think about that. You know, we don't think about how important it is that we're witnessing to other people. You know, mm-hmm. And especially with the things, sometimes when we don't want to do it, you know, I really don't want to do this, or this is really not... my way of spending a Saturday morning is to go to a prayer meeting or a Wednesday evening. You know, I'd rather sit in front of the TV set or something like that. But I'll tell you what, the moments like this that you can and show the commitment. What I see with a lot of kids, and I try to encourage this, you know, when you drop your kids off of religious ed, come on in and come to Bible study, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
and encourage people to do that. It's like, oh, no, you know, I've got other things to do. I got other things going on. And, you know, that's okay, you know, but slowly but surely just to encourage people, especially the adults. And young people need to encourage their parents, you know, because parents get down in the dumps. They get depressed. They get discouraged. Life is hard. You know, work is tough, you know, and so it's important for all members of the family to try to encourage each other. If you're just joining us, we're meeting with Father Christopher Ankley, who's the Assistant Vocations Director at the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and Matthew Montgomery, who is a seminarian here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and Kathy Williams, who's the Director of Religious Education and Youth Ministry at St. Martin de Tours. And they're all from St. Martin de Tours in Vicksburg, Michigan.
Yeah, Matthew is our first seminarian.
And he's the first seminarian from the parish.
Our parish, yeah.
That is awesome. And Matthew had mentioned earlier on Psalm 103. So I think that's really, I'm really going to...
It's a beautiful psalm.
Beautiful, yes. Yeah.
My favorite.
And to really, you know, so if you're, you know, we're talking about family right now, so I think it's a... you know, the Psalms are always a beautiful way to, you know, go into that too, to really deepen your prayer life. And Kathy, can you tell us anything? You know, we're talking about family, and I know you've got seven brothers and sisters, right?
Correct.
Mixture, nice mixture there. And can you tell us anything about, you know, stuff that when you were growing up or any stories of, you know, mom and dad at church or, you know, things like that? Any even funny stories? I know you've got a brother and a sister who are in discerning religious life now. One sister and one brother, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us anything about? Well, you can talk about them, or you can talk about, you know, maybe stuff that they did before they became holy people.
Yes. It's always much more fun to talk about my siblings and share stories. You know, it's more profound being able to have conversations with my mom, having a friendship with her as well now.
Awesome.
But
yeah,
she will say that, you know, her number one job and her role as a mother is to make sure all her kids are going to get to heaven.
Amen.
She takes that job very seriously.
Yeah.
It is wonderful.
Awesome.
Tough growing up. Like Father Chris mentioned earlier, we also did a family rosary, and she usually kept it to a decade, I think, because I don't know if it was us or her or both.
Right. Before the chaos broke in.
Yes. There were some prime kneeling spots in the living room. I think I liked the rocking chair because it was about my height.
Right.
And I think my head just hung down the whole entire time.
Yeah.
And John Paul would sometimes, he's the seminarian, and he'd be like, Hail Mary, full of grace. And then, of course, and Sister Veronica Marie was always the one to egg him on. He would altar serve, and we'd get up there right in the front row, and song would come, and she'd start bobbing her head. All of a sudden, John Paul would smile on the altar, start bobbing his head. All of a sudden, his head was really going. But Max was also like the one place we could not get away with anything. That was the one place that we had to be reverent. But John Paul was the one that struggled with this slightly. And for those of you that know him, it's not too hard to imagine that. And so he was doing something, and he got that look, you know, that Catholic mom look that says, when you get home, you are dead meat. And John Paul saw that look, and I, of course, just am amused by this whole thing. But John Paul is very smart, and he has a quick wit about him. He sat back. All of a sudden, you kind of saw a smile on his face, and he goes to my mother, "This is the perfect place to forgive me." He got off scot-free.
How old was he when he said that?
He must have been, I think, like second grade. And all these memories of attending Mass together, of praying together, we used to have sort of a set prayer that we'd always say, praying for every person in the family, asking God to bless them, and especially some of my aunts and uncles, and ending with the guardian angel prayer.
Sure.
But one time my mom decided to get creative, and we could each choose a prayer to say. So there was like a Hail Mary, there's an Our Father. Yeah. And my youngest brother, Ben, who's married and has his own little guy now, Jacob Daniel, who was just baptized, he decided that his prayer would be singing Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, okay.
So there we all sat around praying, Puff the Magic Dragon. And, you know, like Father Chris says, prayer is not perfect in the family. And, you know, I think I get to have some unique conversation with moms today and their struggles with raising kids and praying for them and working together with them in ministry, trying to support them. And it's not easy to be a mom and a parent of kids these days and ages. Right. There's a lot coming at you. My mom also likes to say she's glad all her children are raised now. But just persevering in it, you know, and even in attendance in mass, you know, some mass, the kids are going to be little angels. And then there's other masses where none of them are going to
chaos.
You know,
exactly. Yeah.
But the important thing is to be there and, you know, to recognize that, you know, I love seeing the kids at mass. And there's been times parents have said, I'm so sorry. I said, no, thank you for bringing your kids to mass. This is where they need to be.
No, I like the 11 o'clock mass. It's noisy.
Absolutely.
All those little voices are talking.
And you can start to pick out who's just,
Yes, I know Dominic's voice very well.
Yes. And it's so cool to have a family parish like that. And like Father Chris says, some of my fondest memories are times of prayer and going together as a family. It truly is.
Yeah, that's nice. And we have to encourage families, too, so often. And we talked about this before on other shows of how important it is for us as parishioners to respond positively towards people with families.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
To make them feel welcome and not to give them the look, you know, that somehow you don't know what they're going through. Because, believe me, the parents feel worse than anybody. You know, that their child is acting up or their baby is crying.
They notice it much more than other people do.
Yeah.
And it just makes me smile.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, most priests respond very nicely, you know, but it's, I think the greater part of it is parishioners who turn around and go, you know, give the look, you know, the stare at them, you know. But the fact of the matter is we've all been there and had these situations. And, you know, even if there is a cry room, sometimes it's rough. You know, you can't get them in there right away. And they want to try to teach their children how to be able to behave.
Mass,
yeah, to be at Mass and how important that is. So, you know, and usually I know at our parish, the most active, that's a nice way of putting it, the most active congregation is at the 11 o'clock Mass. You know, and that's usually where, you know, there's lots of little kids and there's lots of noise going on and things like that. So it's, you know, don't be surprised, you know, and we shouldn't be surprised, you know, when there's a certain amount of noise and things going on. But always to be, you know, kind of, you know, take it easy, especially on the young parents. I've had a few young parents say, man, I just felt so bad because I could tell the people ahead of us couldn't hear anything, and which is another good reason to look at the readings before you, you know, go to Mass, you know, so that you can fully immerse yourself into what's happening, what the readings are for that week, but to pray for those families too, and what's going on with them. So, any other funny stories or not that any of you would like to share? Any jump right in? If Matthew, do you want to take a shot at one?
I don't have any more funny stories.
Okay. All right.
It's more of a...
Or observations that...
it was more of like when I was a little kid.
Sure.
We'd spend our Christmas season at my grandparents' house in Bay City, Michigan.
Very good.
And the Christmas Eve, the midnight mass, only like my grandfather and maybe my dad would go. And I always thought it was like that. It was like a step into adulthood because I was never able to stay up that late, and my parents would never go or let me go. So I felt like, man, I just really want to go to that midnight mass so I could stay up and be with my grandpa and my dad. Unfortunately, I was never able to go with my grandpa because he died before I was old enough to be able to go. But the midnight mass for the Christmas Eve has always been a special part of Christmas for me because of that experience.
Great memories.
Yeah.
Great memories. And I think it's important for us to reflect back on that, because these are traditions that we need to hand down, and this is what this program is all about, the strong Catholic families, strong Catholic youth, and we are part of that family, and, parents all the way down, you know, grandparents, that there is nothing greater that you can hand down than your faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, and no greater security. You know, I was
gift.
Yeah, and I was talking to a couple who are preparing to get married, and I said, you know, there is nothing, there's no greater gift than you can give to each other than to help each other get to heaven.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what it's all about. It's about getting to heaven. But it's also about this great conversation that we are going to have with God in this, you know, what did you do? Yeah. You know, are you a faithful servant? What did you do? What did you make of your life? Is it just, you know, a large bank account? I think it's great, you know, if you give all the money away and things like that, that's fine. But what did you do, you know? What did you do with your life? And so having a family, and no matter how that family manifests itself, whether, you know, for Matthew it's his parish family, you know, that he's in charge of, if he becomes a priest, you have a family. We all have families around us that we're connected to. Maybe not blood family, but spiritual family. All of our brothers and sisters that we're connected to. And even people outside of our parish. You know, I have to talk to people, you know, just going through Myers, you know, just to just to smile at people. Mm-hmm. Just to make that your ministry. You know, people say, what's your ministry? My ministry is smiling. I'm the smiling ministry.
Smiling,
you
know? Is my favorite.
And you might, maybe not. It's my favorite thing to do is to smile. Where does that come from?
That's the movie Elf.
That's right. Yeah, that's my favorite. There we go. Yeah.
I hate that movie.
Yeah.
That's why I like it.
My dad does, too.
During Christmas time or just any time? It's just a bad movie.
I saw it once. Okay. That was enough.
Maybe you have
Bob
to watch
Newhart it. Bob Newhart is good, though. Yeah. I like Bob Newhart.
Yes, that's true. Always good. So we think about that, too. And we look at that, you know, even in the silly things that we may look at, all of these have to do with families. And then we have to ask ourselves and make a good assessment of, do I have a healthy family? And really, for me, it became, you know, part of this responsibility of, you know, this is a big responsibility. I'm raising human beings now, you know. We have all these little kids running around. Now what do? And it is the most important, the most responsible thing you could ever do is to teach your kids and teach your family the faith. You know, not only how to get to heaven, but how to live, and really how to manage life too. Yeah. You know, the hardness and the coldness of life. Even though there's a lot of good and there's a lot of joy, it's a rough place down here. Mm-hmm. It's a rough place.
Yeah.
And so we need to try to develop this and work on this. So, Father, can you tell me? You know, I know that this program that you guys are working on, as far as you know, prayer and things like that. So, is this a segmented program, or how does this program work? Is there any other details that you want to enlighten us on?
What we're going to start with in Lent, we're just going to start with having families discuss something.
Wonderful.
So maybe after Mass, we'll give them a little question.
Yeah, kind of just like
so,
this.
Kinda yeah, like sort of like doing. This. Yeah. So as they're driving home from Mass, discuss this question in the car.
Yeah.
Because we would do that going home from Mass. We would talk about different things we heard.
Wonderful.
My parents would ask us questions. Well, did you hear this? Were you paying attention?
Yeah.
And And we would just talk about different things or something that Father said or something somebody else said at Mass, and just discussing the faith, making faith a bigger part of the life, more than just 1 hour on Sunday.
Right.
Bringing it home into the home.
And making life more than just the visible world. Right? More than just this, I got this laptop computer in front of me, and I got this microphone, and I got this pen and a glass of water. You know, more than that. But the things that we do not see.
Right.
You know, the power of God, the amount of grace that God is pouring out on us every day. And I often think about that with so often that we are so full, either full of ourselves intentionally, you know, that we're full of ourselves, or that we're full of the world, that we've got so much going on that there's no way for God's grace to come into us because we're full. There's no way to receive all of this greatness that can happen for us. And I often say to people, I say, you know, you have to, like in Lent, like in any time during the year, of emptying yourself out, going to reconciliation, working on that spiritual life, working on your prayer life, and not just for the benefit of your family, but for the benefit of yourself and the benefit of the world. A lot of people think, well, it's, you know, doesn't matter. It's just, you know, here in, you know, the Kalamazoo area or here in Michigan, you know, it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal. You know, we think about, we see all the things that are happening in the world and how important it is for us to pray, but also how important it is for us to discern, you know, what's going on. And I, you know, I love Pope Francis. It's like every single day he has something. He has a tidbit for us to pray on and things for us to do. So any of you have any thoughts in the prayer area or any thoughts in regards to Pope Francis? You know, this year, and I guess we can say that this year is really a great focus. I wasn't going to say focus, but a great emphasis on our family lives and our families themselves.
Absolutely.
And so, any of you have any thoughts on that? On some of the things that Pope Francis, and they're going to do this this year, the end of this year. I think it's in October. But there's somewhat of a crisis that's going on in our families.
Yeah. I think you just see so much division in family.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of spouses, the divorce rate is high.
You bet.
And that's not, that doesn't disinclude the Catholic Church. There's
Correct.
Many divorces within the Catholic faith. And the one stat, and I don't remember the exact percent, but the one thing that holds families together is prayer. And that's because it can be so constant in the good times. In the bad times, in my own family, my oldest brother took his own life.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
And thank you. But without our faith, I can't imagine where we would have turned to without it. And not just me personally, but even as a whole family.
You bet.
Right away, we prayed a rosary. There was a Divine Mercy chaplet. And the people, the good friends, our parish family, and the support that they had through their prayers,
yes.
That is the one time in my life I can say I felt prayer.
Yes.
Right? You can pray, but you don't always feel things. You got to listen. You got to be at quiet. You sense a peace.
Absolutely.
But that's the one time I felt, and our family very much turned into each other. And Christ was at the center.
Yes.
And, you know, there's so many different misconceptions about suicide within the Catholic faith. And so much of theology has been developed and how we view that it's very... It's not much different than cancer, that there's something eating away at my brother's mind.
Right.
And he was no longer able to make the choices to make. And the Lord's compassion and mercy and seeing the strength of my parents during that time, but also having an opportunity to console my parents at that time.
Yes.
The way each of our roles in the family became defined.
You bet.
I became more of a leader than I thought I would usually be in such a circumstances.
Great strength.
And it all came from Christ. It didn't come within ourselves.
Absolutely.
And that's what prayer does. And that's why we got to practice it in the good times and when they're young, as little as an infant, you know, and before in your marriage. Pray as spouses.
You bet.
And pray as a family, because we're guaranteed that tough times come.
Yes.
And that is the rock, the foundation, and that is what will keep us unified as a family. And we've had, you know, little spats after since that, and you know, I think I could run my siblings' lives better than their own, you know.
At times. And you might be able to.
They think frankly. The same thing about you.
Absolutely.
Too.
And they have much advice for us.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is I know that above all that the love we have for each other, the love we have for Christ, will keep us grounded. And should any of them ever need anything, I know without a drop, you know, with the drop of a hat, I will be gone.
Amen.
And help that out. And what's really unique too, I was over at my sister's house. My older sister is married and has four kids and is a practicing Catholic family, which is nice.
Yeah.
But to see them pray together as a family,
and
them pass on that faith that it's going on to another generation is really, really beautiful.
It is.
And so prayer is so incredibly essential.
Yes.
To what you're doing. You could have all the knowledge or lack of knowledge. You might have all the faith that there is to faith, but unless you are growing that relationship
right.
with Christ
right.
and with one another
yeah.
through prayer,
yes.
everything just falls apart.
Yeah.
So families,
powerful.
Pray. Teach those Hail Marys and the Our Fathers,
Angel
the Glory of God. The Angel of God,
the
act
first
of temptation.
We learned.
Yes.
My mom would kneel us again in the living room, and very first prayer we learned was the
yeah.
Angel of God.
Yes, yes.
Then the Hail Mary, then the Our Father.
Yes, all those
in
prayers.
In that order. And I would pray them in that order for a lot of years after
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not only that, and Father Ankle, you'd mentioned, you know, the crucifix above the couch.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, and praying in the living room. And having that crucifix, if you don't have a crucifix in your home or a cross in your home, get one. You know,
in every bedroom. Every room.
Amen. Yeah.
My grandmother
right.
put them above every door, so you walk in, you're walking
yeah.
under the crucifix.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it is a powerful witness constantly to have Christ visibly there, not only spiritually within your house, but visibly there, especially in those moments where you're angry.
Yeah.
And you turn around and you see that and you kind of, oh, okay, what am I angry about?
Yes.
And really, in a very powerful way, seeing that. So, and Kathy, thank you very much for your very touching story about your brother, too. And I think it's a big thing that we need to reach out to those people in our families, those who are struggling with drug or alcohol abuse. I know for myself, I've been in recovery for 19 years, over 19 years,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I'll tell you what, the support that I got from, and I only needed support from just a few people in my family
Absolutely.
To make a powerful impact to help me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always those people in our families who will be sicker than we are, who will not be able to help us. But thank you for the witness of that, you know, mm-hmm. Of that powerful story. And so often it takes some of that, too. It takes us to get out of our comfort zone to be able to help others, to witness things that have happened in our lives, very personal things, very powerful things, things that are hard to talk about but are so important to make that connection, for us to, you know, basically crucify ourselves in order to help other people. So I think it's a very powerful witness to be able to do that. But going back to a prayer and having a crucifix in our house, having religious pictures within our homes, doing these things that, you know, does my house look Catholic? Does my house look like a holy house, a house of this domestic church, this family? And what family am I, what family do I belong to?
Yeah.
And this is this familiar relationship, this family relationship of that we're all called to have with God, with Jesus. Unlike any other religion, you know, where it is whether it's this, you know, big punishing God, this is a family relationship with Jesus Christ as our brother and God as our Father. which is so beautiful. So I'm going to turn to Matthew here to see if he's got anything that, you know, Matthew, can you witness of anything that, you know, things that have happened in your life or, you know, maybe in your home. Do you remember, well, you're only 21, so you don't have to look very far back. You know, I'm 55, so it's like, yeah, so, you know, you only have to look back a couple of years. I have to look back 10 years at a time. But things that, like, within your home, you know, things that help helped mold you. Did you guys have a crucifix or a holy water font or anything like that?
Yeah, in our garage, near the door going into our house, we had a like this little plaque, this wooden plaque that said, Lord, I think it said, Lord bless this house and this family. And I saw it going in every single day. I don't think it's there anymore, but that's something that's in our house. And we also have a crucifix as we leave the front door, okay. And it usually has several rosaries hanging. That's like our rosary.
That's nice.
Your rosary corner.
Yeah. Very good. So, and whenever now I sit on the couch and I can see that crucifix that I can see while I walk out the door, and that's usually where I pray, is right at that, where I can see that crucifix.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, for me, I always remember, and I still have this crucifix at my house to venerate and kiss the feet of Jesus often. I try to remember to do it every day, but I must confess there are days where, and I think that's my humanity, and I think we should all realize that too, that we're just human beings. There are some days where I walk past Jesus. Ooh, you know, not too good. I walk past him and I don't recognize him because I'm too busy, you know, get caught up with the world. But what I reflect back on, and my brothers, if any of my brothers listen to this, they'll realize this too. But it used to be the crucifix was in the hallway leading down the stairs, and as you from the second floor to the first floor, and as my dad would go down those stairs, he would put both hands, because there would be a wall there, and he'd put both hands on either side of the crucifix, and he'd venerate the crucifix. He'd kiss it.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So whenever we would come down the stairs, we would see that. Well, what I started happening is I started to imitate him, see? And so the imitation of Christ, and we're all called to do that, to imitate Christ, to imitate great, great holy people like Mary, like St. Matthew, like St. Christopher. And I'm sure there's St. Cathy's out there, too. I'm certain of it.
There's St. Catherine.
St. Catherine, of course.
St. Catherine of Siena.
Oh,
yeah. St. Bernadette, your middle name.
Yes.
Oh, Bernadette, too. Yes. Wonderful. Yeah, that's good. But I remember that. I remember that so vividly, you know, my dad doing that. And he'd have this holy water font also next to their bed. And I have that still. You know, so two great treasures that, you know, to save, and I look at that, and, you know, I guess my kids will have to fight over who's going to get that, but now we have, you know, there's a lot of crucifixes in the house, you know, there's a lot of paintings, and there was when we were at home too, but I treasure that stuff because that is, you know, I don't treasure the little end table, you know, which actually is down in the basement now, but it's an old family heirloom, you know, but it's down in the basement. It's not, you know, being mistreated or anything, but it's down in the basement, but it's not elevated to the point to where that crucifix is, to where religious objects are. So I encourage people, if you don't have those things in your household, you know, those are things that your teenagers, it's important things for them to see.
Absolutely.
You know, Jesus died for you, and, you know, it's very important for us to try to remember that, you know, and why he did and the entire story behind that. So really encourage all of the parents, and I encourage young people, too, that if your parents do not have, if you're listening to the radio and your parents don't have any of that stuff, ask them about it. Say, hey, can we get a crucifix, or can we get a picture of the Blessed Mother or the Sacred Heart of Jesus to put here in our home? or to put in my room. Yeah. Recently, I had a thing where the kids in, I think it was the first or second grade, they wanted guardian angel plaques.
So nice.
They wanted something to put next to their beds that gave them some comfort. And I think sometimes we can forget that, too, you know, that the small children, they get scared. I mean, you may be taking them to church, you may be praying for them, but they get frightened, they get nervous. I had another young man say it to me this last weekend where he was, you know, he was concerned. But I told him the story that, you know, how I had always feared that there were these pirates in this one area of the house, you know, and I'd always go downstairs to see my mom and dad. You know, I was just a little kid. And I said they were never there, you know. There was never any pirates in there. But it can be kind of scary for little kids, too. So when you have something like a cross or a crucifix or a picture of the guardian angel or St. Michael or St. Christopher, any of those objects are just a beautiful thing to have for young people to be rest assured that, you know, God is looking after them and loving them and that they belong to God.
Absolutely.
They truly belong to God.
And Deacon, if I may interject too,
absolutely.
You know,
go right ahead, Kathy.
You know, putting a crucifix or a religious object, a picture of our mother or Saint Joseph, in areas of temptation, right by the computer, the TV.
Yeah, great
because,
idea. Great
you
idea.
You know, I mean,
I've given that advice a lot.
Yeah, yes, that's good.
It gives you
so
pause.
Important.
It gives you pause.
Absolutely.
Or a medal of Saint Benedict on your computer.
Absolutely,
wow, that's a good thing.
You're just keeping those and. It's tough. I mean, the devil truly is finding so many ways to infiltrate the family.
Yes.
And you can't be too careful around those medias.
Right.
And they can be used for good, but they can also be very destructive. So I encourage parents, please, you know, in those areas of great temptation, put something as a reminder.
Absolutely.
To give pause, as Father Chris said so well.
Absolutely. Great idea, especially today. You know, we found it on our TV, the dish or whatever we're using. We had to block all the titles.
Wow.
It's just filthy. The stuff that they put on there, even though you're not buying the channels,
right,
they put it on there. It's on the menu. You have to change that. So you have to take all, you got to block all of those from seeing the titles, and because it's just filthy. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's just so we have to guard against that. We have to guard our families. We have to protect our families and be on alert, you know, because it does become like it eats away at our souls. It really does. The threat of pornography, the threat of drugs and alcohol, and promiscuity. We got to be careful, and we've got to protect our families, and we got to tell our kids the truth. You know that this stuff, and we got to tell the adults the same things.
Absolutely,
this will destroy you. It will certainly destroy you. It will ruin your life. First, it will ruin your life, and then it will destroy you. And it's very sad, but it's not a, you know. Yes, we're free to do what we want to do, but this stuff is not free. You will become imprisoned by it. So let us protect our families and pray for our families. And our parishes, encourage as well as volunteer. Help out at your parishes. Ask your parish priest what you can do. It's great to have Father Ankley here and Kathy Williams and Matthew Montgomery from St. Martin de Tours in Vicksburg. It's just been a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you for talking about and sharing your family stories and vocations to the priesthood and just really some dear family stories that we all have. And let us, as we go forward through this day and over the coming months and years, pray for those people who are away from our families, those who most certainly need our tender love, that we need to reach out to them, whether it be once, just once or twice a year, not to try to fix them, not to try to solve it, but to try to just tell them that we're loving them, we're caring for them, and we want them to come home. May God bless you. Till next time, thank you very much.
You have been listening to Epiphany with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich, on Holy Family Radio. If you have suggestions or comments, You can email us at epiphany@holyfamilyradio.net. Also, if you would like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.